rich power and presence of the Lord that is permeating this sanctuary this morning. How many of you are grateful for what you and I feel in this atmosphere right now? I don't want to treat it loosely or lightly. I don't want to take it for granted. But I want to be a steward of everything that we are encountering this morning. Wow, I'm so grateful. Aren't you grateful to be in God's house on God's day with God's people? There's nothing like it. There's absolutely nothing like it. I'm going to be taking your attention in just a moment to the book of 2 Kings chapter 5. We're going to begin at verse number 10. And on your way to that scripture text, I want to just highlight my thankfulness and excitement to be with you this Sunday morning. Last time was completely unfair because you got to see me and I did not get to see you. It was in a time that we once called COVID, a time that we don't speak of anymore too often, but had the privilege to be able to come to this sanctuary and to record with Pastor and Brother Gary and perhaps a few others during that unique time. And so I'm so grateful to be with you in person. Amen. And I'm so grateful to see your faces. And I see so many faces that I recognize, and I'm grateful for that. And I see so many faces that I don't recognize, and I'm also grateful for that. I'm thankful for the kingdom of God that is advancing in Denison and beyond through Truth Church. I'm so grateful that there's a body of believers that have decided to not be co-stars, but to be co-laborers with Christ. And that's what I see. I don't see co-stars. I see servants. I see men and women that love the kingdom. And I'm so grateful. I'm so grateful that God is using you. And I so love your pastor and wife. How many of you are thankful for Pastor Darren and Sister Ginger, their family? I'm so grateful that Bishop is here. I told him I thought he might skip church when he heard I was coming. But I love Bishop. I love this great family. And I did go back in my mind. It was right over here in this altar call at Unleashed Student Conference that God confirmed to me that I was going to evangelize. I knew it would be overseas. I knew it would be across the states. And I'm so grateful for what this church and this pastoral leadership means to me and to my life and to my ministry. They have been North Stars. They have been examples. I'm not old, and Pastor Darren and Sister Ginger are not old, but they are older than me. And so I'm so grateful for their impact in my life and for all their children. I love this family so much. I was in Canada a few months ago, and I was speaking in a service, and God was moving. It was amazing. Afterwards, a young man came up to me and he said, "Landon, I have to share a testimony with you. Can I share a testimony with you about what God has done?" Now, we know in atmospheres like this, God is moving collectively, and sometimes we miss the nuance of what God is doing individually. And so I said, "I want to hear it. Tell me a testimony about what God has done." He said, "Lately, God has just been challenging me to be bold for Him, to step out and do new things for Him." And I just told God, "God, I'm different. I'm unique. I'm eccentric. Sometimes I'm a little weird." And then He said this, "But then I came to this service and I heard you minister. And I said, Lord, if you can use him, I know you can use me." I put a fake smile on my face. I said, "Thank you so much for sharing that testimony with me." In my head, I said, "Walk away, fool." But I do believe that God's going to use all of us today. I believe God's going to use me. I believe God's going to use you. And so we're just going to let him do that, all right? We're not going to limit God. We're going to let God. That means he can fill anybody with the Spirit this morning. That means anybody can decide to be baptized. That means supernatural healing can fall in this house. That means the Lord can give you a word for your situation. The Lord can give you a word for somebody across the sanctuary. So we're just going to let God this morning, all right? 2 Kings chapter 5, verse 10. If you're there, say amen. If you're cheating and looking on the screen, say amen. If you're not there, say amen. If you're just saying amen to say amen, say amen. All right, I appreciate your honesty. 2 Kings chapter 5 and verse 10. And Elisha sent a messenger unto him, saying, speaking to Naaman, go and wash in the Jordan 7 times, and your flesh shall come again to thee, and you will be made clean. But Naaman was wroth, and he went away, and behold, he said, I thought the prophet would surely come out to me, and he would stand, and he would call on the name of the Lord his God, and he would strike his hand over the place, and he would recover me of my leprosy. I could go to this river. I could go to that river. The rivers of Damascus, are they not better than all the waters of Israel? May not I wash in them and also be clean? So he turned and he went away in rage. And his servants came near and spake unto him and said, my father, if the prophet had asked you to do a great thing, would you not have done it? How much rather when he simply just said, wash and be clean. So then Naaman went down and he dipped himself 7 times in the Jordan, according to the saying of the man of God, and his flesh came again like unto the flesh of a little child, and he was clean. And so he returned to the man of God, he and all his company, and he came and he stood before him and he said, behold, now I know that there is no God in all of the earth but in Israel. Now, therefore, I pray thee, take a blessing of thy servant. The prophet relays a message. As the Lord lives before whom I stand, I will not receive none. You cannot pay for something that is priceless. He urged him, but he refused. So Naaman pulls a plot twist, last verse. He says, all right, if you're not going to receive anything from me, you're not going to give me your Cash App, your Venmo, your Apple Pay, your PayPal. You're not going to receive anything from me. I want something from you. So Naaman says, shall there not, then I pray thee, be given to your servant 2 mules, burden of earth. He says, all right, I've got some mules here. I've got some Yetis here. I just want some earth. I want some mud. I want some dirt. So for the next few moments, I just want to teach, I want to preach, I want to talk to you, probably scream at you just a little bit, on this simple subject, deliverance with a side of dirt. Deliverance with a side of dirt. Would you turn to your neighbor and would you tell them, deliverance with a side of dirt? Turn to your other neighbor, the one you just rejected, and tell them, deliverance with a side of dirt. Would you just lift up your hands just one more time? And would you just lift up your faith just one more time? And would you just, I believe in your prayer. So would you just agree with me? Would you just give God gratitude by faith for what he's getting ready to do? God, in faith, I thank you for doing what only you can get credit for. In faith, I thank you for every miracle. I thank you for every breakthrough. I thank you for doing what only you can do. Let the angels of the Lord minister to the heirs of salvation this morning. I pray that the best gifts would be in operation. Let my mouth be your megaphone, for we have come for more than a spiritual TED talk. We need more than a few cute songs, but we need a spiritual transformation to take place in the next few moments of our time together. I believe it is so. I pray it as so. I declare it as so. So let it be so in the name of Jesus. Somebody say in Jesus' name. Somebody shout in Jesus' name. And if you didn't believe that prayer and it was just protocol, you don't have to clap. But if you believe the Lord heard you and you know the Lord is going to respond to you, would you just raise the decibel level just a little? And would you just clap your hands as loud as you have all Sunday morning? I beg you just to do it 10 more seconds. Come on, it's more than hype. It's more than emotion. Come on, there's a shifting happening in the sanctuary. Let it be so. Let it be so. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. God bless you, and you may be seated this morning. The Bible calls Naaman a great man. Naaman is respected. Naaman is revered. Naaman has people that are afraid of him. He has fangirls. He has soldiers that want to fight with him because Naaman is a captain. Naaman is a conqueror. And Naaman always wins. Naaman doesn't know how to take L's. He only takes W's. Because every battle that he has walked into, he has walked out of. If you go to Naaman's Instagram bio, the goat emoji is there because that's what Naaman is. He is the greatest of all time. Everybody wants to fight with Naaman. Everybody wants to be around Naaman. Nobody wants to fight against Naaman. But the Bible says that Naaman has leprosy. So publicly, Naaman is victorious. But privately, Naaman is defeated. Publicly, Naaman is winning a battle. But every single time Naaman comes home privately, he is losing a battle. If you have the diagnosis of leprosy placed upon your life, it is a horrific disease. It literally kills you from the inside out. It literally takes from you, figuratively and literally, as you would lose a piece of yourself physically. One day losing an ear, another day losing a finger, perhaps losing a piece of your knee, a piece of your foot. As day by day, hour by hour, moment by moment, leprosy is robbing you of life. It was such a horrific disease that if you were diagnosed with leprosy, they would perform your funeral before you even died. They would cast you out of society. And now, to anyone who would even dare come close to you, you had to scream, unclean, unclean, get away, I'm a leper. And now your sickness was your identity. But I never find where Naaman notifies anybody. I think he can hide the leprosy. I think the cape can cover it. I think the armor can hide it. But every single time Naaman comes home, he is coming home to a losing battle. But the Bible says that there is a slave girl in his house, and she finds out that Naaman has leprosy. And thank God, she is not me, and I am not her. Because I'm just going to be a little transparent with you this morning. Can I be real with you? Yes, sir. No, no, no. What I mean is, can I be real and you not judge me? Yes, sir. That is the sound of people getting ready to judge me. So I will repeat my statement again. I need to know that I can share this and still come back and preach. I need to know that you won't judge me. Ushers are coming through the aisle. I need that in signing. I need to know that you won't judge me. You're still going to judge me. I'm just saying, if all of a sudden I find out that my captor, the one that came to my hood, my crib, my village, my town, my people, the one who came and stole and plundered and murdered and took me away captive has leprosy, when do we cue the shout now music? Because God is a prayer answering God. Oh, y'all judging me. Y'all judging me. Naaman has leprosy. Glory to God. I'm so sorry to hear that. Naaman has leprosy. When is he going to die? This means she can go back home. This means she can go back to her people. This means she can have Chick-fil-A again, bless God. But she is not me and I am not her. Because that's not what she does. She, as a slave girl,
robbed from her home in a hostile environment, surrounded by the unknown, becomes an evangelist. And she begins to testify about a God that can heal and transform and deliver. You got to hear me right now. She should be jaded. She should be cynical. She should be carnal. She should be backslidden. And we would probably justify and understand. But she still has her empathy. She still has her love. She still has her compassion. So therefore, I think she still has relational value with God. Because rarely do you ever testify about a God you're mad at. Rarely do you ever testify about a God you don't talk to. So what that tells me, even as a slave, even bound, not knowing her future, surrounded and suffocated by uncertainty, she's still worshiping Jehovah. She's still worshiping the maker of every molecule. She's still whispering praises to the Lord as she's sweeping in Naaman's living room, as she's washing dishes in Naaman's kitchen, as she's a servant in someone's house, she is still whispering praise and worship and prayer. I remember the words of the great apostle Paul when he said, the word of God is not bound. It's pretty wild when he said it. You know when he said it? When he was bound, when he was in prison, when he was in chains. Because it does not matter the situation that you or I in. No matter if my faith is hijacked. No matter if depression is sweeping over my mind. No matter if fear is intruding into my miraculous belief. The word of God is not bound. I may be bound, but the word is not. That's why I speak healing even when I am sick. That's why I speak deliverance even when I feel. That's why I speak praise to a God that is outside of time even when it feels like he has not made it in time. I dare you just to take 5 seconds and just clap your hands and speak a word of faith. Somebody speak a word of hope. A miracle can happen in this room. Healing can happen in this room. Because the word of God is not shackled. Naaman needs to meet my God. Naaman needs to have an encounter with my God. Naaman, there's healing in my land. So Naaman believes her. She has credibility. And so his boss, his king, sends a message to the king of Israel. And he says, yo, we are sending Naaman back to you. Because we have heard y'all can heal him. Y'all didn't know Naaman's boss was texting, did y'all? He said, y'all, we heard that y'all got the solution. You got the healing. And I want you to notice the response of the king. I want you to notice the response of royalty. He said, hold up. Nah, fam, this ain't good. No, hey, hold up. This is a setup. Go back and read it. He said, we cannot heal him. They are devising a plan to take us out. This is a plot. They know we cannot heal him. Royalty was meeting impossibility. Yeah. And so now I ask you a question. How is it that a slave girl in the unknown has more faith than a king on a throne surrounded by opulence and gold? So now tell me why you need to have it all perfect before you have faith. Tell me why you need the new job before you can worship and shout now. Tell me why the diagnosis has to come back cleared before you stand in trust and belief, knowing that you're... I'm going to praise Him before the answer comes. I'm going to rejoice before the finality comes. Naaman tells people what to do and they do it. But leprosy won't listen. Because it doesn't matter how much authority you have, how much dominion, how much jurisdiction, how much power, how much social status, how much you have in the bank, how much you've invested in Bitcoin and Tesla. It does not matter. Life will always present you a battle that you cannot overcome in your own intellect and ingenuity and skill set. Your Enneagram number won't do it. Your bank account won't do it. Your connections will not do it. Everybody else serves Naaman, but leprosy won't. But there's a slave girl that has a smile on her face. A slave girl is about to teach Naaman about freedom. It does not make sense that you are smiling in your storm. It does not make sense that you can smile through grief. It does not make sense that you can smile through the unknown. There's a reason. It's called the peace that surpasses understanding. Oh, Carter, run up here. Carter, run, both of y'all, run up here. Run up here, run up here. Hurry up, run up here. All right. Your peace. Wave your hand. Everyone say hi, peace.
Peace.
Say peace. They won't get it. Now you're understanding, okay? Can you wave? Everyone say hi to understanding.
Hi.
The Bible says it's the peace that surpasses understanding. Can I use you in the checkered suit? Because you just, man, I think Naaman would dress that way. Naaman's got the swag, but Naaman doesn't have peace. Peace is a miracle. This is not in my notes. I'm either being very ADD or spirit-led right now, or both. The reason that peace is a miracle is because you cannot manipulate peace, you cannot conjure peace, you cannot manufacture peace. If I do not have peace, it doesn't matter the affirmation, the compliment, the job promotion, the money, the Hawaiian vacation, the yacht. If I do not have peace, I don't have peace. I can't manufacture it. But if I have peace, I can be nervous but still have peace. I can be fearful and still have peace. I can be facing the unknown. I can be facing all of hell. But if I have peace, there's no human fingerprint on it. You cannot give it, but you also cannot take it away. So I need someone else. Amaris, can I pick on you? Will you forgive me? I'll give you a Chick-fil-A gift card later. Run up here. Come on. Y'all give it up for Amaris. Naaman's got the swag, but he don't have peace. But the Bible says there's a slave girl, and it seems as if she has a testimony. It seems as if she has a smile on her face and a smile in her spirit, because she is still projecting faith even in the middle of the unknown. I told you, I don't think you're going to testify about a God that you're mad at.
All right.
Here's my simple, basic definition of evangelism. It's telling your new friend about your best friend. And the more you talk to your best friend, it gets a whole lot easier to tell your new friend about your best friend. But you can't tell a new friend about a friend you never talked to. I think she's talking to God. I think she still has her faith intact. She's bloody and she's bruised and she's weary and she's human, but she has her life tethered beyond time. Even though she is bound, she is connected to a God that fills all time and space and is limited. And so even though she's been taken away from the known and comfort, she has peace. Because the Bible says it's the peace that surpasses understanding. So, Carter, who are you? I think you're peace, right? And then you're understanding. Okay, so I need you to take two steps. Yeah, just take two steps. One, two. Now I need you to take five steps. One, two, three, four, five. You know what? This is why peace is a miracle. Forgive me for being so simple. The reason that peace is a miracle is because peace surpasseth understanding. Yes. Peace can get to you before the details get to you. Peace can get to you before the understanding. Peace can get to you before the outcome gets to you. I'm speaking to a child of God. You're not losing your mind. You have been given supernatural peace. It's not logical. It doesn't make sense. But the peace of God surpasses understanding. And it's not like you do not have evidence for peace, but you have it anyway because it's a supernatural miracle. So I had all of y'all come up just to tell everybody that. Thank you, guys. Y'all give them a hand. Can I keep preaching and teaching and screaming for just a few minutes? Naaman believes her, and now Naaman is on his way to the people of God. This is awkward. There is no kazoos. There's no cake. There's no fruit punch. Why is Naaman back? Last time he came, our population decreased. Yo, Nate, hide your kids, hide your dog, hide your pet lizard. Naaman's back in town.
Yeah.
Well, where's he going? Who is he? He's going to the prophet. Oh, let's pray for the prophet. No, we don't got to pray for the prophet. He'll be all right. Wait. Naaman has leprosy. God is a good God. You said he has leprosy and he's going to the prophet. So he's going to the prophet. He ain't coming to our crib. He ain't coming to our house. All right, we're good. He's going to the prophet's house. Maybe we should pray for him. He also has leprosy. That's probably God judging him. All right, we're good. But is there a chance? We know what happens when people meet the prophet.
Yeah.
You're right. They get healed. The miraculous happens. Naaman don't deserve that. No, I didn't think so either. Naaman does not deserve that. But when did I deserve it? And when did you deserve it? My praise is not based on my righteousness or my performance or my good works. My praise is based upon his worthiness, because no one deserves the unmerited favor and grace of God. And now Naaman is standing in a place that position did not get him, that status did not get him. He is standing in a place that someone's testimony. Some of you are intimidated by the context in which you work in, because you are surrounded by people that have more degrees and more titles, but you don't realize yet that you have more peace than them. You have more joy than them. Not because you're better than them, but Christ has made you better than the old you. And if you would allow him, he would give you a door of opportunity to say, you need to meet my God. Don't you wait for opulence. Don't you wait for the promotion. Don't you wait for the throne. Don't you wait for the gold to testify about how good your God is. Naaman rolls up to the prophet's house. Now, if y'all thought Naaman was savage, you wait until you meet the prophet, because you ain't going to meet him. He sends out the rookie prophet. Naaman. Sir, don't kill me, bro. Sir, so great to meet you. Sir, the prophet told me to tell you, hold on 1 second. Man of God, what you tell me to tell him? Dip seven times in the... Seven times in the... Okay, Naaman, sir, the prophet told me to tell you he'd love to come out and talk to you, but he told me, I'm quoting him verbatim, he told me to tell you, go dip 7 times in the muddy River Jordan. Sir. Now, if I am Naaman, I'm like, take this dude out, put the laser on him, take him out. So I think Naaman has to go from this I'm about to kill you mode to like I don't even have time for you mode. And the Bible says that Naaman, the one who has made it through blood and guts and junk and battles and wars, is about to walk away and miss his miracle because of mud and dirt. And you know how it starts? He said, I thought that he would have come out and he would have waved his hand over me and cured me of my leprosy. A whole lot of my anger with God has started with those words. Oh, I'm going to be transparent with you again and hope you not judge me. I thought you should have done it this way. And I thought you could have answered this way. And God, I know you're God, but I would like to help you out at being God. Because I think that if your thoughts looked a whole lot more like my thoughts, that your thoughts would be better thoughts, I thought. But God is convinced that he is God. And God is convinced that I am not God. And his ways are higher than my ways. So whenever I think, I am thinking at this level. But whenever he thinks and he speaks, his ways are higher than my ways. And every time I think, I underthink, because you will never overthink God. And Naaman has somebody that I hope you have. I hope you allow it to be your pastor. I hope you allow it to be me this morning. Naaman has somebody in his life to provoke him. Yeah. Musicians, come. I'm not done, but I just want everyone to think I'm done. Don't tell anybody. I see something significant in Naaman's life. Naaman has someone to provoke him. Naaman has someone to provoke him and be real with him. Somebody has the audacity to walk up to Naaman and say, yo, let's be honest. If the prophet would have asked you to do a great thing, you would have done it. Right. Pastor Darren, I always thought that Naaman didn't go wash 7 times in the muddy River Jordan because it was too inconvenient. It was too seismic. It was too big of a request. It's not that nobody could do it. It's that anybody could do it. It wasn't too big of a request. It was too little of a request. And Naaman's servant called him out and said, 10,000 camels, you would have done it. But the prophet asked you not to do a great thing, but he asked you to do something not so great. Not everything supernatural is spectacular. And I am learning that it's a whole lot easier to be extreme than consistent. You know what God told his people in the Old Testament? He said, I'm going to give you victory. You know how I'm going to do it? I'm going to drive out the enemy little by little. You don't even understand. There's a lot in a little. Here a little, there a little. Line upon line, precept upon precept. Hell's trying to haunt you because you've not taken a giant step. But if you take a granular step, a small step, a single step, hear me, I'm almost done. Naaman has someone to provoke him. And so now Naaman turns back and he dips his toe in the muddy River Jordan. God's still doing a work in him. He's probably narcissistic, so he's looking for his reflection. There ain't no reflection in the muddy River Jordan. Your pride lies to you. This is a grown man. He's been through some stuff. But he's afraid to step into the muddy River Jordan. Wow. Your pride will lie to you.
Have you ever noticed it's so easy to scroll on Amazon and just binge buy? We'll spend $800 in 5 minutes. But the moment the Lord speaks to us to give a special amount on a Sunday, we're like, you know what? I need to be a better financial steward of my money. Have you ever noticed that we'll follow this like reckless instinct of our flesh and we'll just do what our heart tells us, but the moment that still small voice speaks to us and tells us to share the love of God with the barista at Starbucks, I must be hearing things. Wow. I'm being too spiritual. Wow. Our pride lies to us. Yes. But Naaman steps into the waters of obedience. And I want you to stand with me, and I want you to go to that river with me today. Because now Naaman steps in, ankle deep, knee deep, waist deep, elbow deep. Now it's in his neck, and all of a sudden I just see Naaman closing his nose and dipping one time, and it's gross, it's muddy, and I think this is a picture of discipleship because there's somebody on the shore that loves Naaman too much to let him do any less than the word of God has asked him to do. So Naaman goes down a second time. I need y'all to help me keep count. He goes down a second time, and he goes down a third time, and he goes down a fourth time. And I wonder if the fourth time he wants to step out. And then there's somebody on the shore that says, hey, Naaman, the word said seven times. But this is a dangerous place because Naaman has now done more than he hasn't done. And so he goes down again. Y'all helping me keep count? What is it?
Five, six.
And this is where North American Christianity settles. I've done more than I haven't done. And I've done more than you. And I've done more than them. And I'm not as bad as my uncle. And do you know what she done did? I go to church more than her. And as long as I can compare myself to someone else's lack of obedience, I can justify my own lack of obedience. I'm either going to be spirit-led or ADD right now. At what point does prayer become procrastination? Prayer becomes procrastination when you are praying about what God already told you to do. You don't need to pray about sharing the gospel. You don't need to pray, I say it sincerely, about being baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. You don't need to pray about what the word has already instructed you to do. And so there is someone that loves Naaman enough to say, Naaman, one more time. Because anything less than the word of God does not lead to transformation. So what do I do when my past decisions and my family tree and my past spirituality and my past religion, what happens when my past experiences do not match the word of God? I can either lower the word of God to match my experience, or I can raise my life and I can raise my decisions and I can raise my experience to align with His word. And if I bring His word down to me, nothing changes. But if I rise and I bring my family and I bring my decisions and I bring my addictions and my shortcomings and my weaknesses to align with His word, everything changes. Naaman goes down. I'm about to hold my nose and do this in slow motion. Maybe this is where the weird part comes in. I don't know. It's the seventh time. I see Naaman. I see he's got already mud in his ears and his eyes. It's inconvenient, but he goes down one more time. I see him fumbling around. Give me the towel. Give me the Gatorade towel. I can't see. But there's a servant on the shore. My boy, Naaman, open your eyes. I can't see. Naaman, boy, open your eyes. Old things have passed away. Behold, look, pay attention.
You got your ear back. You got your finger back. You got your peace back. You got your family back. All things have been made new.
Because on, it wasn't reformation, it was transformation. The Bible says that his skin was as the skin of a little child. Go back and read it at the beginning of our story. The Bible introduces us to a little maid, a little slave girl. And now at the conclusion of the story, his skin is just the skin of a little child, little by little. The Bible says his skin, his flesh, was just the skin of a baby. Because there's always a new beginning on the other side of complete obedience. Not dogma, not legalism, not bondage. No, there is a new beginning on the other side of complete obedience. I'll never forget being in a service just like this. There was a man from Afghanistan. His name was Arash. I told the story before, but it's worth retelling. He was praying, and I walked up to him, and I prayed with him. And can I be honest with you? I prayed a stupid prayer. Oh, we don't say stupid. Not in my house. I'm sorry. Cut the live stream. We didn't say that. I prayed a very unwise prayer. I prayed a cute prayer, a professional prayer. You know what I prayed? God, I pray that you would bless Arash. Pray that you would touch Arash. Give him a great week. Bless him on his job. Pray you put favor in his life. The problem was, he was suicidal. There was no hope in his life. And everything was imploding and caving in. Because leprosy takes on many forms. It takes on the form of bitterness, lust, anger, unforgiveness, church hurt. And when you have leprosy, you need more than favor. When you have leprosy, you need more than a few cute songs on a Sunday. When you have leprosy, you need more than a God bless my Monday kind of prayer. I went back to him the next service. I said, Arash, I heard about your story. I said, is it all true? He said, it's true. I said, you need the Spirit of God. He said, I want it. That's why I had you pray for me. I said, Arash, I want you to forgive me. I'm going to pray for you again, and God's going to fill you. He lifted up his hands, and he began to speak in a heavenly language as God filled him with hope and life and love that cast out fear. And I'll never forget his first words. He said, I'm not 45 anymore. He said, I feel like I'm 1 year old because there's always a new beginning. I said, there's always a new beginning on the other side. He was baptized in the name of Jesus. But a few weeks later, it's about a month or so actually, his little daughter, Arnoosh, was baptized in the name of Jesus. She came out of that water, eyes closed, her mouth started moving. Arnoosh is smart. She knows several languages. Arash listened intently, and he realized she's not speaking Swiss German. She's not speaking English, and it's not Arabic. And then all of a sudden, he realized that the same God that had filled him, there's something more contagious than leprosy. There's something more contagious than a family curse. There's something more contagious than your suicidal ideation and your tendencies and your proclivities and your habits. It's called the Holy Spirit of God. And if you get it on the inside of you, it's going to affect your marriage and your mind and your babies and your coworkers and your church and your city. telling you, God wants to do something in this room right now. I'm telling you, God wants to do something in this room right now. I don't have time to finish my message, but I'll tell you what happens next. The Bible says that Naaman comes back and he says, now I know. I got to go back home. I can't stay here, but can I take a piece of this back home? Can I take some dirt from Israel? I can't live in Israel. I can't stay in Israel, but can I take some Israel with me? That's what God wants to do. The miracle is not confined to this house. The miracle's got to get to your house. And when you ever fall in love with God, Naaman said, I'd rather have the dirt of this place than the gold of that place. If I can just take a piece of this to my babies, my home. Maybe this is where I get weird again, but I just wonder if those, as those mules are heading back home, I wonder if every time they step over a rock and every time they step over the river and every time they get a little weary and every time there's movement and agitation, I wonder if there's just a little dirt that falls. Because you don't realize, either literally or figuratively, you are leaving a trail for somebody else. I said you are leaving a trail for somebody else. So I'm about to open up this altar, but here's what you got to realize. This altar call is going to be for more than you. Somebody's watching you, Naaman. Someone's watching. Oh, now hold up. I need to make sure that you don't do what I do. You want to know what I do when I read the Bible? I put myself in the story. I put myself as one of the characters. But here's where I always get it wrong. I always place myself in the story as the best character. Now everybody in this room is like, oh, that's me. I'm a slave girl. I got a testimony. I hope that's you. But there's a little Naaman in all of us. I said there's some of Naaman in all of us. Some place in your life that you haven't stepped in surrender. And so today I'm making an altar call for Naaman. But what you don't realize is you're going to go back home and there's somebody watching you. If you've never been baptized in the name of Jesus, if you've never been filled with the Spirit, if you have but you want to be refilled, if you need a renewing in your mind, if you need a supernatural touch, I'm opening this front. I'm opening this altar for church to step out of your pew, step out of your chair, step out into the aisle. And I want you to come to this front as a family right now. Would you do that? Would you come as a family? Would you bring your spouse? Would you bring your neighbor? Would you bring your friend? Nobody alone, nobody by themselves. If you can't get all the way to the front, then I want you to take a step to the left, take a step to the right. But I want everybody to make a physical move right now, if you can. If you possibly can, I want you to make a physical move right now. Because as we move physically, I just believe that God is going to move supernaturally. Come on, that's it. People are coming all across this house. People are coming all across this room. That's it. This is beautiful. Come on, I want everybody that can come to come right now. I want everybody to come right now. This is amazing. This is amazing. This is amazing. I want everybody to come. I want everybody to come. I want everyone to look at me for just a moment right now. We're going to pray in just a moment, but I want everyone to look at me for just a moment right now. I just happen to believe that God is getting ready to baptize this entire house with His people. This entire house that's full of His people, His sons and His daughters. I just believe that God's getting ready. He's already been moving. He's already been manifesting Himself. But God's getting ready to baptize this entire house with His presence. And this is what I want you to know right now. It's not complicated. This is what's about to happen in this room. Every single one of us are about to ask the Lord to forgive us. Every single one of us are about to ask the Lord to cleanse us. We're just going to surrender afresh to Jesus Christ. But after we have surrendered, we're not going to twist God's arm. We're not going to beg Him. You know what we're going to do? We're going to lift up our hands. We're going to lift up our head. We're going to lift up our voice. And we're going to worship Him. We're going to praise Him. But you know what I believe? I just happen to believe that our physical posture is a sign of our faith. So we're not going to hold our hands in our pockets. We're not going to hold our hand down. We're going to lift up our hands. We're going to lift up our head. And you know what I believe? That as we begin to talk to God, as you begin to worship God, I just happen to believe that everything that you've been feeling all around you, it's going to want to move on the inside of you. It's going to want to come in your heart, and it's going to want to overflow out of your mouth. And you have a decision. You can open your eyes. You can put your hands in your pockets. You can shut it all down.
Or you can do what everybody else is going to do, and you can just yield to that river. And I'm telling you right now that that presence of God wants to trickle into this room, and it wants to turn into a river that flows into every heart, into every mind. If you've been filled with the Spirit, God wants to renew you. If you've never been filled with the Spirit, God wants to baptize you today for the very first time. If there's some place in your world, some place in your life that you've not raised your decisions to align with Him, today is your day to do it. If you've never been baptized in the name of Jesus, today is your day. It's more than a spiritual bonus. It's more than a public confession of faith. It is a spiritual, biblical imperative. It is a blessing that God awaits for you. All together as a church family, all across this room. You may feel somebody come alongside you. You may feel one of the team members with a badge pray with you. But all across this house, we're going to close our eyes. We're going to begin to lift up our hands as a family right now. Can we do that? I wonder, in your own way, your own words, your own voice, if you could give God surrender right now. All across this room, it's going to sound something like this. God, I want you to forgive me. I want you to cleanse me. I want you to wash me. God, I don't want to walk in emptiness. I don't want to be a hollow human being. But I need your power pulsating on the inside of me. God, I give you my regret. I give you my condemnation. I give you my guilt. I give you my secret sin. I give you my anger. I give you my pride. I give you my lust. I give you my unforgiveness. I give you my doubt. I give you my weakness. Come on, let's see it all across this house. Come on, that's it. I feel His mercy and His grace in this room. Come on, that's it. Come on, somebody's getting ready to step into the river. Somebody's stepping into the river. Come on, man of God. Come on, lady of God. Come on, mother. Come on, prodigal. Come on, new believer. Come on, veteran saint of God. I'm surrendering to you afresh. 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 I'm surrendering to you all over again. Come on, this is beautiful. The love of God is in this room right now. The mercy of God is in this room right now. The grace of God is in this room right now. Come on, I want you to join me in lifting your hand just a little higher. I want you to join me in lifting your head just a little higher. I want you to begin to send forth praise and worship. Right now, come on, if you're an intercessor, I want you to help me pray right now. If you're a believer, I want you to help me pray right now. If you're a parent, I want you to help me pray right now. Come on, that's it. I love you, Jesus. I worship you, Jesus. I praise you, Jesus. Come on, victory's coming. Victory's coming. Victory's coming. Victory's coming.
My God will never fail.
Come on, that's it. It's just you and Jesus right now.
Oh, my God will never fail.
Come on, that's it. Get beyond protocol. Get beyond your dignity. Get beyond the routine.
I'm gonna see.
Make up in your mind. I'm not going home to a losing battle.
Victory.
Come on, He wants to make you more than an overcomer. He wants to make you.